Thank you, Aaron, and I hope I don't offend anybody. But I find it interesting that, and I just really, I appreciate the second song that we had there. My son and my sister and I, when we were coming back from Colorado, we were actually singing this song, and I find how the Lord puts things in order, and it's doesn't surprise me that that song was the second song that leads into this. And it was just a wonderful time that we had in Colorado. And some of those that were in Colorado are going to see this sermon again. But I've been praying about it, and one of the things, I've been going over this sermon, and, you know, it'll change up a little bit, but I think this is an important, I would preach this if I was a traveling ministry. I would preach this in many of the places, all the places that I would be traveling to, because I know that it's of importance that we understand the love that God has for all of his children and the body of Christ in itself, and the importance of traveling in this journey that we have together, and to care for one another. But again, it was a great trip to Grand Junction. I haven't traveled like that. We go to teen camp and do those things, and there's awesome camaraderie, and it's a wonderful trip. But just to be able to relax and to enjoy services in another place. I haven't done that in such a long time. And it was actually 13 years ago that I got to travel to Grand Junction. And it just really, I felt just, it was amazing how you feel accepted with open arms as if you're part of the family. And I really felt that welcoming and fellowship there among our brothers and sisters up there, and to be able to spend time with them was truly a blessing. And so I was thinking about, you know, what should I preach about? I had time to prepare, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna, I don't know how many of you have seen this or haven't seen this, but I added some scriptures and I changed a few things up. But these things that we do in life and deal with in life, we, in a way, in a sense, as the body of Christ, we deal with it together. And I find that through all the difficulties that life provides, that there's so many people that are supportive of each other and myself and the church and the local. And it's been proven time after time again of all the things that need to be supported, and the quickness of individuals to be able to respond to that. And so I think about that, and I think about how quick the reunion came and went, and the effect that it had in my heart to continue to do and serve the Lord in a manner which is pleasing. It's something that I haven't experienced in a long time, where you really get to see the love of others and to be able to help it put wind in your sails to continue to not be frustrated, to be patient, to understand that there's more to be done, to understand that there's other generations to bring up. And I, you know, I said this morning when I was opening for Aaron that just watching the, I must be getting old, because just watching the little kids is something that really, you know, it has an effect on me. And I know the importance of having God in our lives and what it can do and how it can change everyone's journey in life and bring them to a good place. And that's why we nurture our kids, and that's why we try to be good examples to them. That's why we encourage them, and that's why we applaud for them and show them the way and the good things that come when you go on this journey spiritually seeking after the Lord. And so I think that God has provided us with such a great place to be able to gather together. And that's one thing I was thinking about, is that, you know, you get stuck in those daily routines. I'm going to go back to work tomorrow, and there's going to be all the chaos that I deal with every day. But just having that little opportunity, that little bit of a window of time to go and go because of the Lord and for the Lord and for our brothers, for the body of Christ, how that's made a change in my heart. Just that little bit of time that was taken in servitude to go and be a part of something, a part of the body of Christ, to support it, really helped me be able to refocus, get out of my complacency, and to understand that there's a lot that needs to be considered and done when it comes to serving the Lord and how we go about doing that. And I know that in my journey, in my life, that, you know, this is a kind of a new chapter, thinking about my son and his career change, and probably going to be making some big decisions in his upcoming years about moving out of the house. Yes. Please. It's on the to-do list. All right, everybody here, all the brothers and sisters heard that. We'll put that priority. I'm just kidding. No, we loved. He's hardly there as is. That's the way I look at it. But, you know, I see my kids and their generation, that chapter has ended with them being young and being nurtured. And, you know, there's these young ones that were up here singing for their VBS and showing the Lord what they've learned. And, man, it was just a wonderful, it was a pleasure to be able to listen to how they sung. They did it very well. And it is something that I look forward to being a part of their journey, to be able to help them when they need help, to show them the way. We have Connor that is taking that covenant with the Lord. We'll all be a part of that, hopefully, if you could be there next Sunday. And that's a big new chapter in his life. And we've been studying, and he really impressed me with the fact that he came to me and said, hey, we need to do this. And so I just look at that and say, you know, did I do everything right? Absolutely not. I did not do everything right as an example as a father, but the Lord is there with us on our journey to help us be able to show a good example and to make corrections on our path, to be able to give those things that were given to me, to be able to share the knowledge and the wisdom and the blessings that God gave me. And I think about that. You know, I've raised these, my wife and I, she's not here, her back's hurt. You guys probably seen her gimping around earlier this morning. But my wife and I have raised these kids, and we provided them, you know, everything that they needed. And when it comes to life, there's very basic needs to be able to sustain life, you know, roof over your head, food, clothing, water. You know, that's pretty much the essentials that come just to sustain life. But as a parent, as parents, we provide so much more than that. And as brothers and sisters, we've provided a lot of that. And I have a list of things here that I wanted to share. Just some of these here are some of those things that all of us provide each other in one way or another. And these are essentials in life. And you can relate a lot of this too for your spiritual life as well. And those are some of the things that I've been thinking about. And, you know, you can even look at shelter. I know brothers and sisters that have provided shelter for others. Again, people have traveled, and I'm sure they travel to foreign places where they've never met anybody before in their life, and they're greeted with open arms and taken in, provided food, provided shelter, the protection from the elements, protection from the environment. And these things are given. These are essentials of life that not only that we give temporally, but also spiritually as well. These things that we can provide to others as brothers, sisters, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, brothers, again, that, you know, need these things in life. But the Lord, He provides all of this for us as well. So we give gratitude to the Lord for all those things that He provides, and it teaches us to be able to share those things with others through His grace. And this number one I put up here, it's the number one thing that we could share that God gives us. He shares His love with us, and so we should share that love with others. And I put that definition in here. Agape love is defined as selfless, unconditional, and sacrificial love, because that agape love is the number one love that there is that God gives. It's considered the highest form of love because it's based on choice and commitment and doesn't depend on the worthiness or actions of a person. And so this love that God has for us, you know, this agape love, you know, we don't have to pay for it. It's not something that we deal with financially. It's something that it's not given to us because of who we are or what we do, but it's a commitment that God has for his children, but we have to be willing to accept it. It's choices that we make that we come to Christ and we see his love and we know that it was given to us through the sacrifice of God's Son. And it's a care and love like none other that the world gives us. I could care and I could love for my children each and every day of their life, but there's going to come a time where they need to rely upon the love of God more than anything, because I will not always be there for them. I will not always be there. And that's where, you know, a lot of times I try to toughen them up. I try to give them the tools of what to say, how to say it, and to be strong and confident in what they do. But I will not always be there. But God, the love that he has for us, he tells us that he will always be there and he will always take care for us. So there's really no reason for us to feel as if we're alone. There's no reason to feel as if we've been deserted, because God loves each and every one of us so much that he has a desire to be there. We just have to call upon him. And he provides all these essentials that should help us have confidence and want to make that commitment, that covenant with our Father for what he has given. And he will provide. And, you know, the world, it teaches us to worry about keeping up with the Joneses and all the needs that go along with the world. But we know that everything that we essentially need will be provided by Christ if we put our trust in him. Matthew 6:30-34 says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And these things that we do, we should be seeking God first in our life, and he will provide for us. He will prove that whatever it is that you do need, he will give it to you. He will give you the essentials of life. And when I started my journey, it really impressed upon me that not only that God gives you what you need, but he gives you so much more. He gives you the ability to be able to do things that you never thought you could do. Connor was asking me that, you know, it's some of the responsibilities that come with being baptized. You know, I told him that the Lord will open your heart and help you be able to see those things that you have talents in and how they can be applied in your service to the Lord. You know, you don't have to think that as soon as you're baptized that you come up out of the water and you have to be assigned a task with the church local. That's not how it works, but God works within your heart. Those things that you know you can do, God will give you an opportunity to do those things. He'll give you an opportunity to be able to share your talents, your strengths, and even your weaknesses at sometimes. Sometimes it's amazing how if we let ourselves and our hearts open up to those things that can make us feel weak, it really strengthens the body of Christ. And we all have an opportunity to be able to share some of these essentials in life that God has given us. And he gives us these things freely. You know, a lot of things that I've learned with the church and what I've gained from God is not stuff that I can go buy off the shelf. There's a lot that God gives that it goes into the heart and into the mind through His Spirit and helps us be able to see the richness of that. And those are things that you cannot buy. Those are things that you hold near and dear to your heart that you invest in, that you put time into, and you take ownership of that nobody could take away. And God gives so much of Himself freely, and we just have to be willing to take it, to accept it, and to be able to share it as well. And I appreciate that, especially when it comes to needing guidance in my life, asking questions. And I know that all of us have questions. We always have things that need to be answered. We always have challenges that we need to overcome. But God understands each and every one of our needs, and He's willing to give us to be able to overcome them. And I've seen that, and I've learned that. And that's my desire, is to continue to share that throughout the generations that are a part of the body of Christ. But in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, as I said, God gives everything, gives Himself freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and for your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I think about that, and a lot of times I don't like to listen. And a lot of times I get myself in trouble because I make it look like I'm listening, but I'm not. And a lot of times it's because of the distractions that are going on inside of myself. And I see how when I don't apply and listen to what God's trying to tell me, how I fall short, and how it changes the outcome of my decision when I do listen to the Lord and the direction I'm going. And one of those things is because a lot of times I know how my mind works, and I know how I just like to get things done. And I really pace myself to just get the work done. And a lot of times when you're just pushing yourself through things, you look over the little details, and you don't really experience life as God wants you to experience it. So I've taken a turn in my journey, I guess you would say, because it's very difficult for me to be able to take time off of work, because work is very busy, and I like to be busy, and I like to get things done. But I've learned, and it really came to me with the time that I spent with brothers and sisters in Grand Junction, because everything slowed down for me. It all started with the Friday night song service, as a matter of fact, was slowing down. and the pace that it's just a different place, and it's a different pace. And I really appreciated, because even with the song service, the songs, the melody was slower, and I could really focus on the notes that were being sung. I could follow along with it. I'm not trying to say that Michelle plays too fast, but it really helped me be able to focus on the notes. And I could really see the music, and I can look at the words, and I can project myself easier because things were slowing down. And there's another part to that too, is that, you know, that was just a small example, but I've grown to appreciate the fact that people need to take time and enjoy life and what time God gives you. And we're coming up this week to the end of the fiscal year, and it has been nothing but crazy at work, because with government, you're allotted so much money. And one of the things with government is that If this is being recorded, I like it redacted after the service. But one of the things with government is they want you to spend every little penny of that money before the end of the fiscal year, because the next fiscal year you're asking for more every time, and they don't want you to come up short. So we try to hit 100% or within 1% of the 100%. And typically my goal is to go 1% over 101%. And that's a daunting task in itself when you have a very large budget. And that in itself has really, it consumes you. And I've seen how work can be consuming. So the Lord has been talking to me and reaching out to me saying, hey, you need to enjoy some of life. And so I've been taking time. And that's one of the big decisions why I decided to go with Grand Junction, was because I think one of the essentials of life is taking time to be with brothers and sisters, go in places where the Lord wants you to go see His beauty, to be at peace, to get away from the chaos of the world. So this is something that's really helped me be able to see and understand that slowing down necessarily isn't a bad thing. It's a way to be able to see more of the details in life, the good things in life, to be able to see the kids grow so when you blink the next day, they're not 3 inches taller, and where did the time go? Because that's how fast life goes by. And so I've understood that this all is something that comes with understanding the needs for our spiritual welfare and the needs of slowing down, being a little more patient, and understanding that God works in His time. And when you see that, it helps you be able to see on how you should approach your life and take time for what is necessary, the essentials, which are the things that God gives you and helps you hear, see, and understand of the beauty of the spiritual journey in which we are taking. But, you know, part of that is understanding that you got to have patience and you got to be willing to slow yourself down and to see God working in your life. And so I have a slide on that. That's the trying of your faith. As part of that is having patience. James chapter 1, verses 3-6, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it also goes on to say, through verses 5-6, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And that was me. You know, I never had patience for anything. And we were talking about just the ability to be able to get things in a short amount of time. And we got ourselves in a little bit of a pickle, but it was all taken care of with sacrament. And one of the things that I still, it struck my heart when I was telling Bob, I was like, hey man, Amazon doesn't ship here like within 2 hours or overnight. What's up with that? And he said, well, Gary, Grand Junction's a little bit different than Phoenix. Things are a little bit slower. And like the light bulb went out, and I was like, wow, the whole world doesn't need to be like this. You know, I thought the world was like everything now. And it's just a different environment. It's a different type of culture. And I really appreciated that. So you got to have a little bit more patience with those things that are going on. And I was thinking about that. And I just appreciate the brothers and sisters that much more, because I know that a lot of you have to have patience with me. Thank you for that. And it's just who I am and how God made me. But really, you know, we have to have patience for each other as the body of Christ. You know, we all need to understand where other people are at. And the best thing that we could do, and I've learned, is that with patience, understanding that God guides you through things on His time. And a lot of things that we become impatient with, a lot of times that's on ourselves, in our own selfishness. But that's what I really started to see, is that the reason why I didn't have patience in my life is because it's what I wanted all the time. And it's, I want it now. But with God, you know, He helps us be able to see and understand that, you know, the things that you really need and want and desire that we lift up to Him, that's trying our faith. That's helping us be able to see that good things come with those that wait. You know, these little sayings that we grew up with, that we teach each other, help me be able to see that. A lot of those things that I really truly need for my spiritual welfare, for my soul, aren't things I can order on Amazon and have right now. And I can't do it alone. These are things that I have to look to God for, and with His help and His time, that He'll be able to provide those things for me. But I have to be patient and waiting for those things. But there's a blessing in that patience. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And, you know, that's what I say, is that's part of the reason why I'm here, is because He's directed my paths. And if we acknowledge Him, it's going to change our lives. It's going to create new chapters in our lives. I see the blessings that come with young individuals that desire to make a covenant with the Lord, that knowing their paths are changing, that they're looking to see how good and blessed the journey is following after Christ. And that there's many here that can share that and prove that. That's where all parts of the body are important. And that's why I'm here. Because the family that the Lord provides is a family that cares about everyone. I have family in my own, but the vast majority of my family, I don't stay in touch or in contact with them. I don't have a deep love. I don't spend time with them like I do with the family of Christ. And that's one thing it's neat. I really saw when going to the reunion in Grand Junction, and it was just the kinship for the brothers and the sisters of the gospel. It is really something. It's really neat. And so those things that I've learned, and I've lost some things I've learned the hard way, just like a lot of people, you know, and some things I've learned and picked up very quick. And I really appreciate that patience that God has for His children. And those are the patience that we pass on. And it's a trying of our faith that we have to put in God's hands, those things, to let Him work and on His time. And it says in Mosiah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "For behold, that if the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that if ye have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and His matchless power and His wisdom and His patience and His long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping His commandments and continue in the faith unto the end of his life." And I put in bold letters here, diligent in keeping His commandments. And I think that's a crucial part of this journey, is making sure that we're staying disciplined and we're understanding that being a part of the body, being a part of this local, that we're disciplined and diligent and active and alive in the Spirit and sharing that. That's, even Aaron said that this morning, man, that's a lot of energy there singing, and boy, they were full of energy. And, you know, that's a hard gig to follow. And I think that's part of where we have to call upon the Lord to be able to, you know, be refreshed in our lives, to see new things, to understand new things. That's what gives us that motivation to continue, always learning, always growing, and seeing and experiencing the goodness of God. It helps us be able to be uplifted and to be strong in this day. And it says in Proverbs 37, 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So all these things that we put our trust in for the Lord, you know, he provides us with what we need. And I think about, the desires of my heart today are a lot different than they used to be prior to entering the waters of baptism. Prior to that, life was a lot different. My desires were a lot different. And as the Lord has expanded my wisdom and my knowledge of what his goodness is, it really helps me be able to see what my desires really should be. Should be in a life of reverence and gratitude and walking humbly and sharing all the good grace that God has shared with me. Because there's others that are going to need that. There's others that are going to need to be guided in their lives. And so we provide that guidance. And I got Connor here. I was, one of the things about Grand Junction is there's a lot of mountain biking up there. So, you know, God gives in so many good ways. So I was telling our brothers and sisters up there, because they know I mountain bike there, that maybe we might decide to stick around a little bit longer next time and to be able to explore the beauty that God has created up there on our bicycles. And so I have here Proverbs 22:6. This is Connor when he was a little guy. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, Connor's not old yet, but just another opportunity for me to put his picture up here and embarrass him. But I kept this picture here. I was going to change the pictures out, but I kept this picture here because you see here, and I use this as an example in Colorado, that there's a vast desert out there. And my wife was just telling me today that there was a family that was going and hiking South Mountain this morning. They had to be rescued by the fire department because it was so hot. There was 11 of them. And it's a dangerous place out there. And he's on this trail. He's got a marker here. And he's got somebody there, that was me, to be able to show him the way. And I think about that and where he was back then and where he is now and his decision that he's taking next week to be able to enter into this covenant with the Lord. And I take no credit for showing him the way, and it all goes to the Lord. But I know the Lord put every one of you in his life to help him be able to see what is to come and where he can go and how to get there. Everybody here as brothers and sisters has left markers there for him to see all those good things that God does when we go on that journey in life with him, and how he changes us and keeps us safe in the paths of life. It can be very dangerous out there, and everything in the world and its elements that we encounter could be devastating to an individual. It can really tear a person down and destroy them. But that's one of the things, the essentials of life that God gives his children is protection. And I know part of that is everybody that's a part of the body will help protect individuals in their new journey. And I thank God for that. I truly do. But there's an awesome effort on his part. And there's going to be times when he feels weak. There's times when I felt weak. I know all of us feel weak at times. But we know that there's other people that are there to support, to lift you up, to carry you through. We know that there's people that put, roadmaps, guidance, don't go there. They put signals out to brothers and sisters to warn them of all the dangers that life has, to try to protect them. And, you know, it's so easy nowadays, supposed to be so easy, to be able to get someplace. They have everything that goes along with technology to help you be able to get there. My watch will help me get there. If I plug in on my Garmin where I want to go, it'll tell me where I'm at. It's hooked up to satellites, GLONASS and GPS. It has two satellites that are connected through my phone, all the technology, good stuff. The cars have it, the phones have it, watches have it. All these devices have it. But one thing that they don't have is the ability to be able to communicate with God and show you where you need to go. And that's where we all come in as the body of Christ, to be able to do those things, to direct others, to edify, to admonish, all those things to help people get through on their journey of life without harm or injury. But we do. We fall down, but when we fall, we get back up and we come to the Lord, and we know that the Lord is there to care to our needs, even if we do fall. Luke chapter 9 or 11, verses 9 and 10. And I say, this is Christ, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And how true is that? It's something that God wants us to be proactive in our lives. He wants us to come to him. A lot of times, and you know, when we learn from our mistakes, it's because we're being reactive. We're getting ourselves in a position, something happens, and then we go to God. But I always think of those things where if we're proactive, you're going to be successful in what you do. And if you fail to plan, plan to fail kind of theory. And it's been proven that in my life that showing forth the effort with intention has always proven a good outcome when I'm serving the Lord. Going to the Lord, knocking, asking, pleading, the Lord takes you to a good place. And it has done nothing but help me be able to sing praises unto him. And that's where, you know, I really look at the words. Many of our brothers say that from the pulpit, and look at the words and see what they're saying, because it should speak to each and every one of us in our lives of how we can honor God and why we should honor God. And when we sing unto him, we're glorifying him. So that's being proactive, showing up, putting forth the effort, being disciplined and being diligent, and showing your care and your reverence to the Lord among your brothers and sisters. I find that it's life-changing, and it helps. It helps to be able to get through the struggles of life and the chaos that go with it. So we should exemplify a godly life, and our brother spoke about this morning as well. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and they shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." And that word exemplify, to show or illustrate by example. And, you know, sometimes that's difficult for us to do, but I really believe that in all things with good intentions, that even when we fall short, we could teach others by the mistakes that we make, by our failures. That is an awesome tool to teach, because when we learn by failure and falling short, those are the things that really sink into our hearts and help us be able to understand. And God gives us that ability to understand that we really shouldn't do that again. And these are the things that we could share, exemplifying a godly life, that we could share with those next generations, those individuals that are still learning and growing and being a part, that are being brought to God. And I just appreciate it so much this morning with all the little ones and the journeys that they're going to have. It's an awesome thing to see that we can be a part of their journey and help them be able to see the way. And that's one of the conversations I was having with Connor as part of the body of Christ, that it's important that we understand that everybody has an important role in this church, in God's church. And a big part of that is being able to see and understand what is given from the different generations. I think about our brother Hubert and our sister Betty and all the things that you guys have experienced all your lives and how that could be just such a well of knowledge and information to the other individuals that are just learning and growing in the gospel. And just to be a part of this shows the importance for generations of coming and being a part and being an example, exemplifying a godly life in front of others, is how important that is to those that are just learning and growing and understanding about the gospel. And so that's something that we should all be exercising, is a godly life. I did a sermon on this, and it takes a lot. It takes a lot of effort to do that. And just before that, I talked about, you know, falling short and failing, but this is something that human nature does. But when it comes to it, you know, being diligent in our servitude to the Lord, there's a lot that comes with that. It's sacrifice, dedication, transformation, spiritual growth, and consistency. And these are some of the things that I talked about in that sermon that are true to living and exemplifying a godly life. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 30, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and each one of us are part of that body, and each one of us have a function in that body. So you have to nourish those things in which God has given you as part of the body and cherish it. And I think about that, and you know, a lot of times, many of you could probably see things that I'd probably be better off doing than what I do. And I'm open to constructive criticism and chastism. And I think that it's important that we do that. I learn a lot from my wife, and I shared this because I've learned this here along the way. And I say to her a lot that, because she knows me better than I know myself, that she was right and I was wrong, and I'll try to do better the next time. And I find myself saying that a lot. But, you know, it's important that when we understand, people know and see from outside our box, and they're looking at those things that are happening, that it's important that we share that and that we reach out. And that if you feel as if you need help, that you reach out, that you ask, because you'll see that you have brothers and sisters that care about you. They'll prove it to you, and they'll show you that this isn't just an opportunity to post some information on Twitter or Facebook or some of that other stuff that the younger people do to get hits, but the love that I've seen in the church is genuine. It's genuine love. And it's because we endure together. We go through trials together. We get frustrated with each other, but we accept each other and we forgive each other. These are the things that media and the world can't give, is a genuine love. And that's because we are here together and we're going through this journey together. And I appreciate that so much more and see that so much more, because in conversation alone, there's a genuineness to all of us. I believe that we are the salt of the earth, and I've seen how God uses each of us. And there's an importance to us being together as a body, because that's what makes us whole. That's what makes the body function properly, and that there's no schism in it. There might be difficulties, there might be challenges, there's bumps and bruises, but that's how life is. But the genuine love and the love that God helps us be able to share with one another overcomes those things. And a lot of that comes with the patience. So we should be a blessing to those that are around us. And Psalms 119, 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so if we indulge ourselves in our lives and our time, and we give it to the Lord, He gives us His word. As we're studying, you know, as I was telling my Sunday school class, and as I tell my son as we're studying, there's so much more meaning to the words that God gives us than just what's written on the paper or typed or printed on the paper. There's depth to it. There's deeper understanding. I forget the word I was looking for it. But if it comes back to me, I'll share it with you. But it's important that we continue to understand that if we utilize these things, the Lord's word in our relationships, in the body, and we trust in His ways, these are the things that will help us be able to grow and to understand where we need to go as a body of Christ. People have been in different places and seen different things. That helps provide direction here as well. That helps us be able to see how to navigate and how to get to where God wants to take us. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And I think about that and the children that were up here. Man, it's a wonderful thing to see how blessed that we are to be able to see the families growing and the fruits of that and the blessings that come with that. I put here 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And we know Christ is the head of the body, and every part, every piece of that body is important to Him. Everybody from the ministry to the custodial. And I think about, you know, the importance of each and every one of us and how there's a service from each and every one of us that can be given to the church. Mosiah chapter 1, verses 49, we need to remember that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. So find a opportunity to be able to serve. And if we do nothing, you know, is that a service to the body or is it a disservice? You know, we need to see and understand how we can contribute. And I wholeheartedly believe that God puts in our hearts what we can do to help the body and to be able to help the people of the body. And so it's because these are the people that we care for, and we know that He cares for each and every one of us. So we have to be present. We have to be present in the Lord, and He will see and take us where we need to go and show us the way. And so, again, Proverbs 37, 23 through 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And that's where, again, you know, I will fall short. I know that a lot of us will have struggles in our lives, but remember that you shall not utterly be cast down if you come back to the Lord. He will pick you back up. So if you fall, you know, shake the dust off, get back up, and try again. And the Lord, and ask the Lord to be able to help you through that. It's not only a learning lesson for ourselves, but it's a learning lesson for those that are around us. And just like yesterday, here's all my little ones that aren't little anymore. And I was actually going to put in the, I took a picture from back here. And I was going to put that in here, but I just decided against that. Those aren't my children, but these are, so I can exploit them however I want. And but here they are. You know, it's crazy to think this is where they're at now and where they were like 2 minutes ago yesterday. But I have, just like 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that brings a lot of memories and a lot of smiles. And I have to say again, just look, sitting up here and looking out, I was really enjoying the kids. And then I looked past them and I saw all of you smiling. And it was, I'll show you some of you guys. I should, if you're okay with it, I'll get it out there. And even Chris was standing in the back like this, smiling. And I was like, this is like, everybody had the craziest smile. It was all genuine. They were genuine smiles. And that's because of the goodness of God. This was because of the goodness of God, children singing up here. And you can't buy that. You know, you can't have that delivered tomorrow. But it's because we all have patience. It's because God gives us patience to be able to raise children and to show them the way and the journey. And it says in Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old men. That's me. And then I said here in Grand Junction, if by crown they mean hair loss, then I agree. So, yeah, that brought some laughs up there too. I guess I'm a pretty comical guy, Aaron. I don't intend to be, but it just comes naturally. But I think that a lot of the things that we have come naturally. And, you know, whether it's taking the kids for a walk or helping them, having them help you around the house or to the car, whatever the case may be. You know, these are things that out of genuine generosity that God puts in our heart to be of service are things that he finds pleasing, that he gives opportunities. It's really neat to be able to see all that unfold for generations. You know, we have generations in here now. And it says in Psalms 103:15-17, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. And so that everlasting to everlasting, no matter how many times I screw up, if I come back to the Lord, he's going to be there with open arms. As long as I have a broken heart and contrite spirit, and I learn from those mistakes, and I'm willing to show others that they don't go there, and to don't not to do that. That those are the things that God wants us to teach our children. And so we have to continue to show them the way. And some of us will be quicker at things than others. And that's why I put here, and Huber, if he's at home, he knows this. He says this when you're traveling. He doesn't travel much anymore, but I always laugh at this, and I share this with Grand Junction, because you always say, if somebody passes this up as you're going down the road, he'll say, let them know we're coming. And I'll never forget that. But some of the things that we say to each other, I have in here, somebody, I didn't put who this originated from. People forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And so, you know, what we say, what we do, and how we do it makes people feel a certain way. And just as a child of God, exemplify yourself to live a godly life and to show others the goodness and the grace that God gives, because all it does is it expresses love and goodness to others. And those are the things that we want people to feel. We don't want them to not feel as if they're a part of the body. We don't want them to feel as if they're an outcast, but we want them to feel the kinship and the love that God has given to us in our lives as His children. Share that with others. Say those things that have an impact that people won't forget, and how it made them feel, because these things are the things that stick. These are the things that help us be able to see where God can take us and what a good place that is. So in Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 32, the Lord says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear them which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." So please, as you go through your life and your journey, understand those things and slow down a little bit sometimes and see the opportunities that God provides for you to take time to have patience, whether it's to go visit brothers and sisters or whether it's to spend some time and be an example to young ones to show them the way. These are the things that young people don't forget. These are memories that adults don't forget, is the ability to be of service to God and the body. So God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for letting me be able to share this with you, as I probably would share this with many others in the future. So God bless. Thank you.